7 with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Friday, May 25th, 2018. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Starting the Memorial Day weekend holiday. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to put you on the air with your comments and questions. And starting right here at the top, almost quite literally, just about an hour ago, we had another major ash eruption from Kilauea Crater. And I was looking at the earthquake data, and apparently the crater is just rocking and rolling out there. This ash cloud reached up to 10,000 feet, which I think is the second tallest, because the very first one reached 30,000 feet. This one reached 10,000 feet. The others have been 5,000 feet, 7,000 feet. And because of the trade winds, the ash is blowing off toward the southwest. Now, this volcano has been erupting long enough that the sulfur dioxide, the VOG, despite the trade winds, it's been swirling around and backflowing. And early this week, I thought I was under the weather. And then last night, I was driving Claire down to choir rehearsal, and just looking across the valley at the mountains on the other side, you could just see this brown haze, which we recognize because we used to live in Los Angeles. So I just checked on the city of Honolulu, and yes, we do have high VOG ratings and people who are sensitive to it. That's why our eyes are stinging. That's why I keep choking and coughing and everything. So that's what's going on with that. So Mother Nature is out there displaying that she is still very much the boss. And again, nobody knows when this is going to be over. But looking at that earthquake pattern at Kilauea, the volcanologist may be right. Excuse me. There may still be something big down there. More about the volcano later on in the show, however. That was just breaking news here. As you know, yesterday, the lead story was that Donald Trump just called off the peace summit with North Korea, supposedly because of the harsh rhetoric and anger coming out of North Korea, and also because of the diplomatic faux pas that North Korean diplomats stood up U.S. diplomats in Singapore, which appears to have been more a logistics goof up than a deliberate intent. North Korea said they wanted to keep the talks going. South Korea is saying, please, let's keep the talks going. And so Donald Trump today is saying that, yes, the summit may go ahead on the 12th. And it's quite a reversal from his somewhat arrogant written note canceling the summit, in which he said it was irrelevant that North Korea had initiated these discussions. And it was silly for Kim Jong-un to talk about nuclear issues when the U.S. had so many more powerful nuclear weapons. You know, in other words, my big red button is bigger than your big red button. But Trump is now reversing himself and says the talks could go on. Trump's supporters and defenders are saying, see, North Korea came groveling back to us. That was Trump's strategy all along. I am not sure about that because, again, understanding the Asian mindset a little bit, you don't humiliate them if you expect to get something from them. So I think basically Trump is just listening to his advisors, and his advisors are giving him conflicting information. And I think that's illustrated by this article that came out of Sputnik News, that the U.S. is to impose even more sanctions against North Korea next week, even before the June 12th summit, whether it's on or off. And basically, the White House is considering these sanctions. They may go into effect next week. And according to the Wall Street Journal, the National Security Council met yesterday to discuss potential sanctions against Pyongyang, military action, and other ways forward. So it's still a bit of a mess. Interesting article that came out of the original antiwar.com. Is U.S. bellicosity backfiring? And it says U.S. threats to crush Iran and North Korea may yet work, but as of now, Tehran nor Pyongyang seem to be intimidated. And you've got John Bolton out there and Mike Pence out there referring to the Libya model for North Korea. And that, of course, is working against the possibility of any peace, because to North Korea, the Libya model means the overthrow and murder of the leader of the country. In the case of Libya, that was Muammar Gaddafi, after he surrendered his weapons of mass destruction. So, mixed message here. Another article along the same topic out of Zero Hedge. End of the unipolar world looms as new world order responds to U.S. demands on Iran. What we are seeing in Iran, and even now in Europe, is this automatic going along with whatever the U.S. says has ended. There's now resistance. There's now pushback. There's now straining at the leash. And, pardon me, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani is basically saying the era when the U.S. will decide for the rest of the world is over. And I think that may be coming true. There are still a lot of other nations that are under the influence of the United States, but they're pivoting away. The U.S. empire is failing. It's collapsing. I think it's one of the best things that could happen for the world right now. We're going to take a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network, and we're going to take a phone call from Raleigh in Minnesota. Raleigh, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I'm giving you a call about an 18-minute prank phone call that Boris Johnson, who's the UK foreign secretary, received. And he used to be the also the mayor of actually the greater city of London as well. He received a phone call who he thought was the newly elected prime minister of Armenia, Perishaw. And he kind of disclosed a lot of conflict between the UK and Russia itself. But this particular prank callers are particularly famous inside of Russia. Their
yes.
names are Volvo and Lexus, and they actually called Sir Elton John, of all things, one time, and they pretended that they were Putin, and they were calling to pretend that they're kowtowing to or just talk about LGBT rights inside of Russia, you know? And it totally wasn't them, you know? It was some Russian prank callers, you know? But, you know, of course, England's going to already say automatically, you know, on a whim, that they're automatically Russian intelligence without any evidence presented, you know, whatsoever. But I did find it pretty amusing as well. They discussed the Salisbury poisoning. And, they pretended to be the prime minister of Armenia. And the prime minister of Armenia is meeting with Putin and Shotzi soon. And they asked Johnson, I don't want to get poisoned, man, sort of thing. I know that, you know, Putin behaves badly, and but he mispronounced a lot of the words that he said. Instead of behave, he said behalf, you know, to really sound like, you know, he's the Armenian prime minister.
Yes. No, I have heard of these two pranksters before, and yeah, I'm aware that they put their latest caper involved pretending to be the president of Armenia. So, yeah, it's out there. People can web search it. Anything else?
Yeah, they actually said that Jeremy Corbyn is Putin's boy, in effect. What they really said was he's being influenced by Putin. You know, Jeremy is, you know, and I thought it was a little bit funny, but, you know, it's not true. It's just a prank call, guys, you know. But, yeah, and they talked about the very expensive poison, you know, that Levenko got, you know, about 11 years ago when supposedly his tea was laced with radioactive poisoning you know, the true story behind that particular case is, you know, really needs to be written, you know, because I don't know. I can't discern fact from fiction with any of these cases, like Salisbury or the very expensive taste of poison, you know. But supposedly the guy died, you know, you can see pictures of him. He looks saintly. They put makeup on him. He doesn't have a shred of hair on his body, but he was able to tell the authorities everything that they wanted to know. He used to be part of the FSB, which is the dissolved KGB, and he was supposedly an informant for MI6. And
he was killed in Polonium 210. And polonium 210 is actually a favorite assassination method of Israel because it is such a long, slow, lingering, painful death. It's thought that was the weapon that they used on Yasser Arafat.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And they also discussed, you know, in Parliament, but don't quote me on that one, you know, saying that the polonium traces don't just go from London to Moscow. They go directly to Vladimir Putin's door. You know, they didn't say it like that. They said it in their English way. But, you know, they're suggesting, like, literally, like, basically, you know, Putin was cooking up a batch of sweet tea in his kitchen just to poison, you know, dissidents.
Okay, well, you've already covered that part of the story more than a few times. So, Raleigh, going to let you go. Got a bunch of news to get to today. And, of course, in hour number three, the lovely Lady Claire. So thank you very much, and we're going to let you go. Getting on back to the news here, and this is in line with the idea that the unipolar world is falling apart. France recognizes Russia's new role in international relations, including in the Middle East. And this is coming directly from President Macron, who is actually in Russia at the moment, mending ties, improving diplomatic ties. And, of course, the Western press is described it as Macron is groveling before Putin to try and put a negative spin on it. But the reality is that over the last several years, Russia and especially Putin have shown themselves to really be trying to keep the wars from escalating. They calmed things down in Syria once before over the chemical weapons issue. They're trying to keep things calm down in Syria now against a hostile force that's already in there, just bombing and strafing everything that they can find. So the American empire is obviously in decline here. Up in Ukraine, up specifically in the Donetsk People's Republic, Ukrainian soldiers who were captured by Donetsk have admitted that Kiev is thinking about launching an offensive against the Donbass during the upcoming 2018 World Cup held in Russia, because they figure most people will be watching the World Cup and won't be paying attention to news stories about Ukraine going into the Donbass. But the soldiers were saying they were told that an offensive would begin either on the eve of the presidential election in Russia when the snow melted and the earth dried up, or during the World Cup. So we'll see what's going to happen there. Another flashpoint. As you know, the so-called international investigation is trying to fan up this whole thing about Malaysian Airlines Flight 17. And again, say, Russia did it, Russia did it, Russia did it. And in the presentation earlier this week, Russia made a point of mentioning that all of the evidence that was shown was that was produced by the Western countries. And none of the data, especially the radar data provided by Russia, was even considered. They're obviously cherry-picking the data to get to a preordained conclusion. Russia did it. They're the bad guys. But it's very interesting when you look at this organization. The investigation team had that piece of a book missile with a serial number on it, which they said originated from the 53rd Anti-Aircraft Missile Brigade from Kursk in the Russian Federation. And I was saying, well, I don't know how they get from serial number on a piece to that brigade. But the investigation team said it compared dozens of images and came to the conclusion that those unique features point toward a Buk missile system owned by a Russian army brigade. However, they won't release the pictures. They won't elaborate on what unique features they were talking about. The investigation says it suspects some 100 people were involved in the launch preparation, but have never published the names. Now, the Netherlands Chief Prosecutor Fred Westerbeek, who's heading this thing, says he cannot say who is responsible for this atrocity. Instead, he underscored the investigation is continuing, leaving it for the corporate media to say, oh, it must be Russia. It must be Russia. Now, meanwhile, of course, Russia is saying, no, it was not us. We saw where the missile came from, and it came from Ukraine. And we are not responsible. Meanwhile, their records are showing that the serial number that was put on display by the Dutch investigators actually goes to a very old edition of the Buk missile produced in the Soviet Union all the way back in 1986. Now, the shelf life of these rockets is just 25 years. And after that, they have to be decommissioned and disposed of. And because if you try and launch after that, there's a direct threat to the life of the people launching the rocket. So that's the maximum lifetime in the missile, which means they got this serial number from an old Soviet era Buk missile provided to Ukraine that had already been scrapped, which means it couldn't have been used to shoot down MH17. But you know the motto of these international investigations: if at first you don't succeed, lie, lie again. Down in Syria, over the last 2 days, multiple attacks by an Israeli warplane over the Lebanese border, firing two missiles into Syria, one of which was intercepted. U.S. coalition forces went on in and bombed Syrian army bases, government facilities, oil facilities. Russia stood down. They don't want to give the U.S. an excuse to escalate. Syria showed a moderate amount of restraint, but is complaining over the targeting of non-military assets like the oil facilities. So, again, it's hard to understand what's going on over there, except that you can see who the aggressors are. And I get very angry seeing the media talk about how Israel is defending itself from Syria when Israel attacked first, just an hour after Trump declared he was moving that embassy to Jerusalem. Israel fired missiles into Syria. Syria retaliated. That's who shot first. And let's not forget who invaded Syria and broke off the Golan. The aggressors in all these wars are Israel and the United States. Everybody else is trying to defend themselves. Getting on back to Great Britain, the Skripal case is being memory filed again. They've dragged Yulia out for one very obviously staged interview. Now it's all going to go away. Don't need to think about it. The official story is there. And Sergei Skripal himself has been quietly discharged from the hospital he's been staying at. The BBC says he's walking. He's near complete recovery, just like his daughter. So, to recap the official story, an ex-spy who was retired and strategically irrelevant for years was reportedly poisoned by the Kremlin with Novichok, a scary Russian-sounding word that refers to a group of extremely deadly and fast-acting nerve agents that start shutting down the body's muscles and respiratory system within 30 seconds to 2 minutes, except in the case of the Skripals, where it was several hours with a leisurely stroll, a meal, and beers in between. More about this when we come back from these words from our sponsors.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really happened?
Welcome back to the show here, and we're talking about the Skripal's case. Both Sergei and Yulia are out of the hospital. They've pretty much fully recovered. They're both walking around. Yulia gave what appears to be a very tightly controlled and staged interview. The British government still will not allow Russian diplomats or family direct conflict, direct contact to find out if they are being coerced to say certain things or if they're free to travel. Now, in her interview, Yulia said she wants to go back to Russia, but she doesn't seem to be on her way just yet. And it is a serious breach of international protocol. So I'm going to back up a little bit about the official story. As it has come on out from the corporate media, government spokespeople so far, and has now been cut off. They just wanted to go away. Had an ex-spy, was retired, strategically irrelevant for years, supposedly poisoned by the Kremlin with Novichok, a scary Russian-sounding word that refers to a group of extremely deadly and fast-acting nerve agents that start shutting your body down within 30 seconds to 2 minutes of exposure. Except in the case of Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia, it was several hours later with a leisurely stroll, a meal, and beers in between. Then the story was changed. The poison was placed in Yulia Skripal's suitcase. Actually, no, they got that wrong. It was the air vents in their car. Wait, no, that doesn't work either. Maybe it was administered via weaponized miniature drone. No, it was the family's car door handle. Scratch that, it was the front door of the house. Definitely the front door of the house. We're absolutely sure. Either that or Sergei Skripal's favorite Russian cereal. They were given 100 grams of Novichok. No, that's ridiculous. We retract that. That would have killed the entire neighborhood. All right, maybe we have no idea what happened. And by the way, their pets were completely unaffected by the poison, so let's incinerate them. And I can see why this article compares this whole story to something produced by Monty Python. It is that absurd. Now, my favorite theory about what happened has to do with the restaurant where they were eating, which serves not only Italian food, but seafood. And apparently what the Skripals ordered was this sort of seafood melange. And it has a reputation for occasionally being a source of shellfish poisoning, which can be serious and life-threatening. And when it first came on out the story about the poisoning, it said other people in this restaurant had been affected. And that all went away. So I think it was just dumb luck. They got a bad case of fish poisoning. They were being obviously observed because Sergei's a former spy. And somebody said, hey, we can blame this on Russia. We can use this to demonize Russia. And then the Skripals didn't die. That's a problem. That's why they're being held incommunicado. And the Novichok story didn't make sense. And now, of course, we know that Russia's not the only nation with Novichok. The West has it too and has had it for a very, very long time. Okay, let's turn to our domestic politics now. There is a lot going on. And over at Zero Hedge again, they've got an article, Decades of Unconstitutional Wars, which is challenging this idea of the Congress literally abandoning its constitutional duty to decide whether we go to war or not and against whom, and simply write the president a carte blanche to say, whatever you want to do, just go ahead and do it. We're in a re-election year, and we don't want to vote on a war, because if we vote in favor of war, that's going to work against us. They want to be able to campaign going into November saying, I'm opposed to the war, but listen, it's the president's choice. The president gets to do this. They are a bunch of cowards, aren't they? But it does open up the door. These concessions of power to the president have a bad habit of never going away. Some of FDR's declarations of emergencies from the 1930s are still in effect today because they enhance the power and authority of the president, and no president likes to give up power and authority. So the issue is that this open-ended authorization for the use of military force is not just going to allow President Trump to start a war with the flick of a button or the snap of his fingers, but anybody who succeeds him into the Oval Office, unless Congress can be convinced to regain their constitutional authority of oversight of wars. Now, over in Israel, they did it. The Knesset actually passed a law to say Netanyahu could start wars all on his own authority. They've already pulled it back. They realized what an insane idea that was. And now Netanyahu needs to have the majority of his cabinet go along with him before he can initiate a war. I still think it would be better if the Knesset were voting on it, but it's their country. They run it their way, even if they do so with atrocities left and right and up and down. Getting on to Gaza, things at the moment are quiet, and it was a tragic situation, there's no question about it. And when we come back from this commercial break, we're going to talk a little bit more about Israel and Gaza, Palestine in general. I'm not hearing the music. There it is. Okay, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com.
RepublicBroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I'm just watching on Fox News where apparently Trump is slamming Democrats for their criticizing him for canceling the North Korean summit. And Trump is coming back saying, well, it doesn't matter what I do. The Democrats are going to criticize it anyway. It's a Twitter war underway. And frankly, it's also childish. It really is. It's giving the American people and the world a very poor image of what are supposed to be our statesmen and stateswomen. Anyway, back to Israel and Palestine. Norman Finkelstein basically says Gaza is the world's largest concentration camp. And he's saying Israel has just conducted a premeditated full-scale massacre in broad daylight in front of the cameras of the world, once again in Gaza. And he says, no matter what the Palestinians do, they're being shot at. Civilians are being shot, journalists, paramedics. And he says the only way that you're not going to get shot by Israel is to accept life in the world's largest concentration camp. Now ask yourself, would you? If somebody took away your home and put you in a ghetto, that's basically what it is, a ghetto, It's fenced on in. You're crowded in there with 2 million other people. You're living on just bare survival rations, because that's all that Israel will allow in. Would you settle for that? Would you accept that? I think the Palestinians have been very, very patient. Now, there is a new piece of spin making the rounds by Israel supporters, and they're going on out and flooding editorial spaces and blogs with this idea that the Palestinians voluntarily left their lands in 1948. And so it's ridiculous for them to be demanding that they get to go back to their land. You know, they voluntarily left. No, they didn't. They were driven out at the point of a rifle. It's ridiculous here. But Israel supporters are saying that severs any prior ownership, the fact that they left the land. Well, if that's true, then we have to look back at the Babylonian captivity. That's where all the Jews in Judea left and were taken to Babylon. And they were there from 598 to 538 BCE. Well, they left. Sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander. But where this story came from is STIT today or STLT today, not sure. And it's written by a writer who identifies himself as Jewish. And he says, he's responding to one of these letters saying the Palestinians, you know, voluntarily left their land in 1948. And I want to read you this one quote from the response. The letter's authors purport to be writing for the Jewish community. They have greatly overstated their authority. They write only for the organization on whose behalf they've signed their letter. I confidently say that I am one among many of the Jewish community who, along with the letter writers, abhor the recent casualties in Gaza, but also abhor the provocative move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem and all other tandem measures taken by the current U.S. and Israeli government to subvert peace and prolong pain in a part of the world that demands more of humankind. So there is a trend, even though forbidden by the Jewish religion, Jews are speaking up and criticizing their fellow Jews in the Israeli government. That is significant. That is very, very significant. Over in Haifa, as you know, not a lot of attention was paid to what was going on in Haifa because of what was going on in Gaza. But there have been marches over in Haifa that have resulted in clashes with the police and apparently widespread arrests. One human rights worker sustained a broken knee. And it's described as the first reaction of the police to stop the demonstration is to use violence. They don't even come on out. They don't want to talk. It's just immediately attack. And I remember in the 60s, the very early 60s, Vietnam was cranking up, and up in Berkeley, they were just starting to protest and demonstrate. And those protests and demonstrations were very peaceful. You know, the cops would bring coffee, students would bring donuts. That was it until Reagan got elected. Then it got much more confrontational, leading eventually to Kent State. Now, the Palestinians are going to seek international protection at the United Nations General Assembly. They're not even going to waste their time going to the Security Council because Nikki Haley's in there going, veto, veto, veto. And while the General Assembly does not have the authority to send United Nations troops anywhere in the world, what they may do is decide it's time for a coalition of General Assembly member nations to put together their own force to basically put along the border and protect Palestine, both Gaza and the West Bank, from further Israeli encroachment. So they're going to try and go for that. Apparently, as far as I know, they're still headed to the International Criminal Court, despite threats by the United States to retaliate against Palestinian diplomats. So what can you do about all this? As you know, Israel's just really angry over boycotts. How dare you not buy our products? Well, boycotting is a recognized form of peaceful, nonviolent protest protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. Boycotts have been used with tremendous success in the past. When Germany's economy was starting to take off after they got rid of the private central bank, Jewish bankers around the world tried to boycott Germany. So, sauce for the goose, sauce for the gander again. Anyway, here are nine brands that have ties to Israel's illegal settlements in the West Bank. The first is SodaStream, and that one was brought to light primarily as a secondary effect of Scarlett Johansson's recent adventures in international politics. Jaffa Oranges, Ahava, which is this Dead Sea mineral mud, which thankfully they're not there anymore. But when Claire and I used to go down to our local mall, there were all these little carts in the middle that had all of this stuff on there. And all these, you know, Israelis literally just trying to shove it in our face. And it was so aggressive and uncomfortable. I finally complained to the mall management. I said, this is not a pleasant shopping experience. If I have to come down here and just get jumped on by these people, I'm not coming here at all. And apparently enough people complained where they eventually went away. Golan Heights Wine, obvious giveaway in the name there. I was a little surprised about this one, Victoria's Secret. But apparently Victoria's Secret gets its textiles from Delta Galil Industries, a company with a warehouse in the Barkan Industrial Zone, an Israeli settlement in the West Bank. It also runs stores in Ma'ale Adunim and Pisgat Zev, both in occupied territories. Sabra hummus, of course, obvious. Pretty much everybody understood that. I can't have hummus anyway. It gives me gout. Medjool dates. I feel bad about that one because I do like dates. Eden Springs water. And another surprise, Hewlett-Packard. And apparently, Hewlett-Packard owns EDS Israel, which supplies the computer systems of the Israeli Ministry of Defense and produces high-tech equipment like the Basel system, a biometric permit system that controls the movement of Palestinian workers through checkpoints in Gaza and the West Bank. So there's the list, and it's also posted at whatreallyhappened.com. And again, I don't buy Israeli-made batteries, not because of a boycott, because of my experience with them is they're lousy batteries. I had them in our home alarm system in a previous residence. They were supposed to last 6 months. They'd fail after 2 weeks and always in the middle of the night. So Israeli batteries, bad. Don't waste your money on them. Okay. So, all right. I'm just looking at stuff that's coming on in. The Israeli courts have now ordered the demolition of the Palestinian village of Khan al-Ahmar, and the community is going to be forcibly relocated next to a landfill in Abu Dis. This is a rundown West Bank suburb of East Jerusalem. So they're taking away their homes. They're going to force them to live next to a landfill, and you know how toxic those are. And they're just going to take their land here. Now, Israel's Supreme Court has rubber stamped the Israeli use of snipers against unarmed protesters, saying that it was justified because unarmed protesters, including children, are part of an armed conflict between Israel and Hamas. The only people who were down there at that fence with weapons were the Israelis. So it's just a reminder that even a Supreme Court can be bought and paid for and totally corrupt. The House of Representatives has passed their version of the 2019 military spending bill, the National Defense Authorization Act. Their grand total came to $717 billion for the military, wars, and nuclear arms for next fiscal year. And there is another substantial increase in military spending, broadly supported within both parties. Or rather, this is another substantial increase. Only 7 Republicans voted against the bill. Democrats were a bit more split. Either way, amendments intended to limit nuclear weapons spending were roundly defeated. They're going back to building more bombs. Interestingly enough, up in Canada, apparently they're having a shortage of recruits as well. And the Canadian Armed Forces is starting to offer waivers to foreign nationals in certain select cases to allow them to enlist in the Canadian military as a way to boost its numbers. Britain is on the verge of replacing the United States as Turkey's major Western weapons suppliers, as the two European nations are set to take a strategic turn in an already growing defense relationship. So Britain, Turkey moving together, both of them moving away from the United States. You can see that there's a pattern here. And don't forget how upset the United States was when Turkey was buying air defense missiles from Russia instead of the U.S. They tried a little of that thugism, arm twisting, didn't get very far with it. Turning to the domestic politics here, this morning, just before the congressional break over the Memorial Day holiday, there was a classified meeting at the White House attended by Republicans and Democrats and the president's lawyers, which caused the Democrats, who hadn't been invited in the first place but got in at the last second, to complain and scream and whine and moan as they usually do. Oddly enough, though, you know, nothing has leaked out of there, which is odd in and of itself at the White House. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is saying that after he attended this classified briefing, he continues to support Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation and also the investigation into the FBI's actions during the 2016 election, meaning how they handled Hillary Clinton's server. Well, maybe he's just not paying attention, but Mitch McConnell is in a position where he should know that there is nothing to Robert Mueller's case. He's been at it for a year now, spent millions of dollars. He's come up with some procedural crimes by people who were not even connected to the Trump campaign when it happened. That dodgy dossier is a total fake. The FISA warrant was completely invalid. How much more do you need to see, McConnell, to understand this is a hatchet job, not an investigation? Now, one piece of good news, and this took yet another lawsuit from a stonewalling Department of Justice and FBI, and details of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's contacts with the media are going to be public by early September. Now, he's supposed to be running a secret investigation, so he wasn't supposed to be in contact with the media, but somebody was certainly leaking stuff to the media. A lot of people think it was Wiseman, and that may actually get one of the defendants off the hook legally, because the leaks poisoned the jury pool. It's a real mess there. It's a real mess. Over at Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton is making a comment, and I heartily agree. President Trump should direct the Department of Justice and the FBI and other agencies to comply with Freedom of Information Act requests and stop the stonewall. Stop forcing Judicial Watch to spend time and waste money having to go to court over and over and over again. Trump has that authority to say, you honor these Freedom of Information Act requests. These are all public records. None of them are classified. You are supposed to turn them over on request. That's the law. And if anybody in the Department of Justice or the FBI refuses, then Trump says, okay, I'll accept your resignation. For all of Trump's talk tough about Iran and North Korea, he seems totally cowed by the Washington establishment. He needs to put on those presidential brass knuckles, and he needs to start getting his government in order, because right now it's not his government. He's along for the ride. He's up there looking good. He gets to travel a lot, make a lot of speeches, but he's a passenger right now. And he's supposed to be the man in charge. He's turning out to be a very weak leader, susceptible to flattery. Interesting little development. As you know, Stephen Halper has been outed as one of the spies placed inside the Trump campaign and later the Trump transition team. And yet another scandal has come on out because it turns out Halper is behind the allegations made about Svetlana Lukova and Michael Flynn during the general's visit to Cambridge in 2014, where he served as the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. So in other words, Stephen Halper set up the entire case against Michael Flynn. They've been doing this right from the very beginning, just building this plan to tear it all down. We'll be right back after these few words.
Let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. So all of a sudden, this Stephen Halper, who's described as an FBI informant, but he got something like $1 million for whatever it was he was doing inside the Trump camp. It turns out he is also the source of the original allegation of Russian collusion involving National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. because Michael Flynn, when he was visiting Cambridge, met with a British citizen who was born in Russia, Svetlana Lokova, and nobody can prove that she has any connection to the current Russian government. But that's all it took to basically denounce Michael Flynn and to try and get him into legal trouble with a perjury trap. It's just out and out hatchet stuff, hatchet job. They created this out of thin air. They fabricated a crime. All right, let's take a phone call. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike?
Doing okay.
Hey, did you talk about the S-500? The world record supposedly hit a target 300 miles away, which is 50 miles more than the S-400.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, the S-400, that's using the 40N6 missile. That was 250 miles. This one reached 300, the S-500 Prometheus, but they're saying it can, depending on the missile, 370, which is, like, incredible. I mean...
Well, it depends on the warhead. The heavier the warhead, the shorter the range, obviously.
Yeah, the S-500 only has two tubes. The S-400 has four, and I believe they have four different types of missiles that the S-400 uses. And I don't know if you know this, Mike, but there was, like, rumors that it could hit ballistic missiles. That's not what this is for. The A-135 is the one that you see that video of this flaming ball just coming out of the ground. Did you ever see that video?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that was the A-130. That's an anti-ballistic missile. The S-500 is for...
My name is Rabbi David Feld.
Air defense.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey, Mike, I watched the St. Petersburg forum today. And, boy, Macron was really laying it on Putin. He's like, dear Mr. Putin, your excellency. So, I mean, maybe Macron has flipped. I don't know.
Well, we were reporting on this earlier in the show where France appears to be pivoting away from the United States and toward Russia. And we're starting to see the other member states of the European Union more or less strain at the leash. The era where the U.S. government would snap its fingers and all these nations would immediately snap to attention seems to have gone away.
And I also overheard a French person, one of the people from, I think Macron actually said that business have increased 20 to 25%. That's with the sanctions on them. So, I mean, so business is still going on, you know?
Okay, I got to let you go, Dustin. We've got to do a station identification. We'll be back with hour two after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
What really happened?